Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 6 of our study of the book of James. And today for our study, we are going to concentrate on James chapter 2. We will start from verse number 14 and go all the way to verse number 16. The title of this study is Faith Without Works is Dead. Faith Without Works is Dead. Someone has said like this, that faith is like calories. You cannot see them, but you can always see the results, which means it's always going to show out whether you have it or not. And that is the theme of the book of James, whereby he wants to see the results of our faith in our life. Because if we have faith, it should produce works. And in nowhere in this book of James does it resound more passionately than this passage that we are going to go through today, which is from verse number 14 to verse number 26. In fact, verse number 14 is the key verse of the book of James, where it says that, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith and does not have works, can faith save him? Now, this is, as we read this key verse, there appears to be an apparent contradiction between what James is writing here and what Apostle Paul has been writing in his epistles. For somebody who is just reading through, it will appear that Apostle James is contradicting what Apostle Paul has been writing in his letters. But we need to look at it a little more closely to understand how, if at all, they are similar or different from each other. Now, in this passage, in James chapter 2, verse 24, James is saying like this, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. A man is justified by works and not by faith only. So when he says that, it appears that he is contradicting what Paul has been speaking in his writings in the book of Romans and chapters, when we read from chapters 3 to 5, we can understand that Paul has been trying to emphasize that a man is justified by faith only. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 28, we read like this, Paul is writing, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Paul is saying that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. We also read in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 like this, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So Paul is saying here that we have been saved through faith and not of works, that we should not boast afterwards in our life. In the similar manner, in 2nd Epistle of Timothy and chapter 1, when we see verses 8 and 9, we read like this, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So here again, Apostle Paul is speaking that God has called us and saved us through Jesus Christ with a holy calling, but it is not according to our works, but according to his purpose and the grace that has been given in our lives. There is another passage in the book of Titus, and chapter 3 verses 4 and 5, we read like this: "But when kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us." So, apparently it appears that Paul has been again and again trying to say that we are justified by faith and not by the works. Whereas when we read here in James, James is saying that we are justified by works and not by faith only. That is a verse that we need to emphasize a little bit more. We have not been saved by faith only. When Martin Luther brought about his Reformation principle, he looked at the Epistle of James, and what he could speak about this book was that it is a right strawy epistle. That's what the way he addressed the book of James, because for him it felt that this book lacked solid biblical doctrine. Because Martin Luther cried out through the Reformation movement that justification is by faith alone. And so when he saw that Apostle James was emphasizing on the justification by works, it appeared to him that it is a blatant heresy. But we need to understand that there is a huge difference between what Apostle Paul was speaking and what Apostle James was speaking. Number one, the difference is in the emphasis of the writings. Paul was writing and he was stressing on the root of salvation, which is that a person can be saved by faith in Christ and there needs to be nothing added to that. But James, on the other hand, he is calling for fruit after salvation, which is he is calling for a life, the fruit that we bear after salvation. So that's one of the things that we need to understand. Every believer is rooted in Christ by faith, but they will be eventually bearing fruit. Just like it is mentioned in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, that we are grafted into the vine. The vine is Jesus Christ and we are the branches, and we need to bear fruit. So while Paul is talking about the root, James is talking about the fruit. So the first difference is in the emphasis that we see in the writings. Number two, the second contrast between Paul and James is a perspective. Paul is looking at life from God's perspective, while James is looking at life from man's perspective. It's just like Paul would see the fire in the fireplace, but James would see the smoke that comes out of the chimney as a result of the fire in the fireplace. So, for James, the world should be able to tell that a faith is burning in our hearts, which is shown by the works that is coming out of our lives. The third difference is in the difference in the terms that they are using. Both Paul and James use the word justified, but they have two different meanings. While Paul mentions justification, he means the act of God at salvation, whereby he declares a believing sinner righteous while still in the state of sin. But James, using the word justified or justification, means validation or evidence. So we justify to prove our faith, and that's what James says, and that is done by our works. So while Paul, when he speaks about or refers to works, he means the works of law, the works that God required from the Israelites in the Old Testament, like circumcision and the different sacrifices that they had to undergo. But when James is mentioning about the good works, he's talking about the works of the Spirit that should come out from our lives. So while Paul is writing to the newly converted Jews and to explain to them the process of salvation, James is writing to the Christians to explain how their lives should show their faith in Christ through the works that they can bring out from their lives. So this is a very important thing that we need to understand. And in fact, both Paul and James are on the same side. They are not fighting with each other, or they are not contradicting, but they are just speaking two different things which are happening at two different times. And so the conclusion is that the epistle of James is as biblical and practical as any other book of the Bible. However, when we come to the study of this book of James, as we study our passage today, which is entitled Faith Without Works is Dead, we come to verse number 14, which is a key verse. It says, where James is asking two important questions. The first question is, if someone says that he has works and does not, if someone says he has faith and does not have works, what does it profit? So, what use is it, brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? So, what James is saying is that what good it is if you say that you have faith but you have no works to justify that claim? It is just like if someone will ask you what good it is if you have a driving license but you don't drive the car. What good is that license for you? It's not good. There's nothing good in that. So, what good is a faith that does not produce works? That kind of faith is worthless, because if it is a workless faith, it is a worthless faith also. And the second question that James is asking in verse number 14 is, can that faith save him? The answer here, what James is doing is that he is posing two different questions to be answered in two ways. The first question is expecting a positive answer, while the second question is expecting a negative answer. So the second question James is asking, can the empty claim of faith save? And we know that it cannot save, which means that faith has to be accompanied by works, which is the fruit that comes from our lives. Having said this, let us now look at the characteristics of genuine faith. We are going to go from verses 15 onwards. And from verse 15 to 20, we are going to look at four different marks of faith, or four different characteristics of faith. The first one is from verse number 15 and 16. It says, James is writing like this: if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and you do not give them the things that they are needed for the body, what does it profit? So, the first mark that we are seeing is that faith is not indifferent, but faith is involved. We need to be involved through our faith. As it says, let's say a brother or sister is without clothing. They are in need of daily food. We cannot just say, go in peace, be warmed, be filled, but you do not give them what is necessary for their body. What is the use of that? So the meaning of that is that just empty platitudes are of no use. This way is that we are emotionally detached, we are dispassionate, and we are not really responding in the way that God wants us to. And we read here, is that what we are, another translation says like this, a paraphrase, keep up your spirits, don't be discouraged. Someone will come to your relief. Go away from my presence comforted. This is just like saying for something for the sake of saying, but actually not doing anything for that person. So what is missing here? It is a proof of faith, which is what? That you are not being involved in that person by giving real food and real clothes. And that is the key here. So that is the first one, is that faith is not indifferent, but it's involved. The second mark of faith is that faith is not independent, but always in partnership. In verse number 17, it says that if faith has no works, it's dead, being in itself. Now, coming back to the proof of faith, in 1 John chapter 3, we also read a passage in verse number 17 and 18 like this. This is what we read. Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart, does God's love abide in that person? Little children, that's what Apostle John is writing, let us not love in word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. So what it means is that we need to act on what we are speaking through the works that we have to do. The second thing is that we have to be in partnership. We are not independent. So, in verse number 17, by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And that is the key point, that faith without works is dead. Faith and works should be together, hand in hand, like a horse and a carriage. You cannot have one without the other. If the partnership between faith and works is torn apart, they cannot dwell alone, because there is no use of faith without works, and there is no use of works without faith. The third mark of faith is that faith is not invisible, but it's always on display. And here James is, in verse number 18, James is creating an imaginary conversation between two people. So, he's speaking in verse number 18 like this. But someone will well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. So, what the word show means, bring to light, to display, to exhibit. So, here James' imaginary friend is talking about demonstrating faith through works. It says that do your best to show me your faith without using works, and I will demonstrate my faith by demonstrating my work. We will see which of us will have real faith. These days, there are many Christians. We can call them like secret service Christians. They do not exhibit their faith through their works. And what James is saying here is that we are cheating ourselves when we are not producing the works. Because if your faith doesn't show in works, it actually means that you don't have the faith. The fourth mark of faith is that faith is not merely intellectual, but from the heart. In verse number 19, James is trying to put his argument and is again picking up another imaginary partner in the conversation, whom we can call as a religious intellectual, like the priests and the Pharisees during the time of Jesus that we read in Luke chapter 10 verses 25 to 37. So James is talking to the and says that if somebody, his partner, he says, you have faith and I have works. In verse number 19, it says like this. You believe that there is one God, you do well. So, James is speaking to his partner and says, okay, you believe that there is one God, that is a good thing. You are doing well. But do you know one thing? Even the demons believe and they tremble. So what James is saying here is that you are no better than demons who believe, but then not only do they not believe, but they also tremble or they also shudder at the thought of God. So an intellectual and the demons don't have very much dissimilar thoughts. They both have the same in common because both of them believe. And even the demons are one step ahead of an intellectual because he trembles as well. But that is no good. There is no good of being a dry intellectual. And that is the person that James is calling as. But do you want to know, O foolish man? He's calling the person a foolish person, that faith without works is dead, is useless. Do you believe? Don't you think faith without works is dead? So with mere intellectual understanding and knowledge, we hardly are able to please God because we are foolish in the sight of God. And then after speaking about this, after giving the four different marks of faith, we come to James bringing out two concrete examples in verse number 21 to 25. He's bringing about two characters from the Old Testament. One is Abraham, the father of faith. The other is Rahab the harlot. And this is what James says from verse 21 to 25 of chapter 2. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith is working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith is perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And then James says, in the same way, Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them away another way. So when we see the examples of both Abraham and Rahab, both of them did some extraordinary work. For Abraham, it was offering of his son on the altar, Isaac, and Rahab, it was her hiding the messengers from being killed and found out by the king. But you know, these two people, they cannot be more opposite than one another. Abraham was a father of Jews. Rahab was a pagan, a Gentile prostitute. Abraham was a moral, admired Jewish patriarch, while Rahab was a harlot who was looked down and not given any kind of importance. But you know what? Both of them experienced the same kind of faith because both were justified by their works. Abraham was justified or approved his faith by offering up his son Isaac on the altar that we read in Genesis chapter 22, while Rahab demonstrated her faith when she risked her life to protect the two Israelite spies, and that we read in Joshua chapter 2. So these are the good examples that James has brought about the faith. And finally, we come to the concluding principle of this lesson, and we'll close with that. James is summarizing all what he discussed in verse number 26 and says, for just as a body without the spirit is dead, so without faith works is dead. So again, we come to the key theme that we have been discussing throughout, that faith without works is dead. The principle, as James concludes, is simple. When there is separation, there is death. It is true physically, like when the soul separates from the body, we go 6 feet under the ground and we are dead. It is true spiritually, when our faith is separated from our works, without works, our faith is like a corpse, like a dead body, without any vitality, useless to everybody except the person who is burying us under the ground. So let me reiterate what I started with. Faith is like calories. You cannot see it, but you can always see the results. Let's pause for a moment and think about ourselves. Do we have the characteristics of faith in our life? Let's compare and understand. Are we involved through our faith? Are we involved in doing something for the Lord? Are we doing the acts of mercy and kindness to people around, acts of justice? Are we doing that? Number two, are we in partnership? Are we in partnership with others as we work out the works of the kingdom of God? Number three, is our faith displayed, or are we secret Christians who are not even showing out our faith to others? And finally, is the faith from our heart? Is it just dry intellectual faith? As we conclude this lesson, this is the time that we need to ask ourselves these questions. And we need to understand that our faith has to be justified and revealed outside by works. Let us be people of action, and let us do what we say and say what we do. Let us practice what we preach and preach what we practice. May God bless you with this small lesson. Thank you.